You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. The show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, do I have some friends in the studio today. An action-packed show. We have my good friend Phil Moore is here, and Phil is a candidate for Florida House District 53.
Good afternoon, Sita.
And he has a really good radio voice.
He does. He's got a great radio.
Yes.
And who's your segment being paid by for today?
It's being paid by the campaign, the Vote Phil Moore campaign, Democrat for State Representative, House District 53.
Right. Excellent. And he said that really good.
He did.
Yes.
He, better than I did. So that's why I had him say it.
Yes. We're going to have a call-in guest as well. Her name is Deidre McNabb, and she is the former three-term president of the Florida League of Women Voters. She's now chairing the league's campaign on clean energy to make Florida number one in solar. And we all talk about the environment and how we want to leave a good footprint on the earth for our children.
Yes.
So this is a perfect time for someone to call in and talk about things like that. But
that's right.
She also, Deidre, also was voted in 2012 by the Orlando Sentinel, one of the most influential Central Floridian of the year.
Yeah.
So lots of she'll tell us a little bit about herself when she calls in. But before she calls in, we just want to we had some happy news in the UK.
That's right. We had
a little baby born this morning to the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate. Mm-hmm. A little baby boy.
Yes.
And he's fifth in line for the throne. So we have Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles,
right.
Little baby William, mm-hmm. And then we have George, Charlotte. And I think Prince Harry got bumped to number 6.
Right. Exactly.
And of course, why do I care? Well, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, and our country was ruled by the British before 1963.
I just think it's happy news.
I always liked the monarchy, and I always I loved watching Princess Diana, because you know, in a world full of so much chaos and lying and cheating and wars, and it's nice to have something happy. And
yes.
Some great things happening to people, and that everybody could enjoy. And people enjoy the birth of children.
They certainly do.
They certainly do, right?
And certainly the palace, right?
Right. And that's why I will be flying to England in July, so I could see this palace.
All right.
But for friends who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning, Ellen also have updated our websites, and all the shows are posted, and we're getting a lot of downloads on iTunes, right, Ellen?
Yes, another 1,700 and something last week.
When she's not busy. Thank you so much for helping on the show.
Oh, I love it.
I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. And Pastor Paul has been helping us.
But speaking of busy, we did have a good weekend with all of the great the Earth Day events.
Yes,
all weekend.
Yes, yes.
So did you shut down at 8 o'clock on Saturday night? I shut everything off in the house at 8 o'clock for a whole hour.
I tried, but I did it around a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
But before our guest, Deidre McNabb, calls in, I just want to say, you know, we all talk about gun control, and we talk about common sense approaches and what we can do as a society to prevent people who are mentally ill or people who are just shouldn't be carrying a gun, you know, people who didn't have background checks. Whatever it is. And we all saw at the Waffle House, 4 people were killed. And I have to give a shout out to the hero in all of this, a fellow named James Shaw. He just decided that this gentleman with the AR-15 rifle, I think his name was Travis Ranking. Yeah, he's armed, he's dangerous, right? And this guy just said, you know what, he's going to have to work to kill me. And he took him down, but the guy was half naked. Obviously, there's some mental issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And he ran away, and there's a manhunt. I mean, they're looking for this kid.
Yeah.
But then I heard there's a background story about the father knowing that the son had some illness, and there was still he was still able to put his hand on an AR-15. I mean, it shouldn't be just, it should be everyone, society in general should be looking out for each other.
And just simply that we have hero, we still have heroes in this world mm-hmm. that will jump in the line of a citizen, you know, not anybody that was police trained.
Yes.
And he was grazed by the bullet, I guess. I guess he got hit.
Yes.
In his elbow or shoulder or something along those
well,
lines.
Well, the thing is, there's too many loopholes where this young fellow, 19-year-old Travis Ranking, he wasn't supposed to have a gun, but yet still they were saying that somebody else could buy the gun and give it to you as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows if that's what happened, or did the father have one and just let him use it? Nobody knows where he got it.
We'll have to follow the line of accountability.
Right, so we'll have to see, you know, what's happening with that. But so that was two of the things that I said we'll talk about before our guest calls in. And
also, the good thing in that story is that there wasn't the necessary good guy with a gun. It was just a good guy.
It was just a guy with a good heart
yes.
that cares about humanity like all of us do. I mean, everybody wakes up every day and we want to be, most of us anyways, we want to be a better person than we were when we went to bed. You want to wake up refreshed and you want to say, well, look out world, what can I do today mm-hmm. to make somebody's life better? Or what can I do to make my community better? Or how can I be an advocate for someone? And I think that's why people like Phil Moy is running for office as well.
Right.
You want to advocate for things that are important to you and everybody else. So while we're waiting for Deidre, Phil, I just wanted to say, do you have a website so people could look at your website while we're talking?
Yes, it is votephilmoore.com. And I have a Facebook page as well. It's also votephilmoore. And I have a Twitter account, too.
Yeah, by the way, your website is very nice. So shout out for whoever built your website.
Yes, well, thank Amanda.
It's easy to understand. And at a glance, someone could see that, you know, all the issues that are near and dear to people, like education, very important, healthcare,
yes.
Immigration, gun control. You talk about everything in detail, and most people, that's what they want. They want a thriving economy, and people want jobs with benefits.
And I talked about the issues that really we deal with here in Florida and in the district.
Yes. And that's when he talks about the district, Ellen, they are going to talk about Palm Bay and the roads, because Ellen always talks about Palm Bay and the roads, and I know you'll be talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, infrastructure is very important as well.
Yeah. Now, the last time I saw you, we were filming a commercial for another friend of ours.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
And well, we had one-on-one. We were chatting, and I had no idea that you were thinking about running for office. What actually made you run for office?
Well, yeah. That's a try to give a synopsis of that story. So in the new year, in the new election, I tried to get more politically active. And was seeing that my actions of writing my legislature, talking to my officials, just wasn't getting very far. So I ended up trying to do a little bit more activism. And then the next step really was to try to be a voice in Tallahassee, to give those activists, to give those people who are writing another voice. And that's why I decided to run in the district.
Well, that's good, because you know what many people say, you know, a lot of people talk about running for office and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat, it doesn't matter. If you put your hat in the ring to run, thank you.
Because
the thing is, you know, it's not as easy as people think.
Oh, no, it's not.
You know, you have to give up. You have to give up your family. You have to give up sometimes a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give up a lot in order to serve.
Yeah, and I don't know that many people that do think it's that easy.
Yeah, well, well, you know, when you look at sometimes, you know, you have the voices on both sides of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. You have the Republicans and the Democrats, and then you'll have people talking on TV as a this person should do this and this person should do that. The bottom line is, it's not easy.
Yes.
People put a lot of thought into what they're doing, and they may not think the same way, but the end result is everybody wants the same things.
Yes.
They love the United States,
right.
And they want to serve.
And that's part of...
And just the path to getting there is different.
Yes, and those are some of the things that I am concerned with in the district. I want to work on the environment. I want to work on the infrastructure. I want to work on the economy.
Well,
so yeah, those things...
Yeah. He does have a nice voice for radio, doesn't he?
You do.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great campaign.
I always say any candidate that anybody who's running for office in any part of the United States and they want to talk about equality and opportunity, justice for everyone, respect, empowerment, And freedom. That's what people want. And of course, people want the right to practice their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I always take it a little one step further. I said, if you have, we always say this, faith, family, friends, a little finances, and some food, you're good to go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But not everybody is fortunate to have those five things.
Yes.
In order to have those five things, you have to have affordable housing.
Yes.
You have to have a public education system that works for all,
mm-hmm.
fix a community, and then fix public education. So, I mean, that's what we talk about on the show, Phil. We talk about things that help everyone.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think Deidre is on the phone, and she's calling in into
yes.
Into to Viewpoint with Sita and friends here in Cocoa, Florida on AM 1510 WWBC. And as you can tell, our show is fun and very unscripted, quite entertaining at times. And it's quite informative, too. So welcome to our show, Deidre McNabb. I love it.
Thank you, Sita. You're awfully nice. It's a pleasure to be with everybody.
Well, thank you. Well, tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself. We already said some nice things about you, but I know you have a few things to add.
Well, I hate to waste any time talking about myself. You know, I've been involved in an organization called the League of Women Voters of Florida. And we have some amazing volunteers all across the state. It's a volunteer, grassroots-based, nonpartisan organization. And we basically focus not just on issues like clean water and clean coastlines and good public schools, but we focus on helping voters get registered, be informed, and encouraging an active, informed participation in government, because we believe that's the bedrock of a democracy.
Thank you. Well, that's a it's
so
she
true.
Said it so in a couple of sentences, so and it's what we try to accomplish.
We've got
as well.
To get it past 40%.
Yes. Well, the thing is, and you know what, I notice a lot with I'm of course a legal citizen, in case anybody's listening. I'm here in the United States, and I absolutely love it. But the thing is, I get a little upset sometimes when I meet fellow immigrants who are naturalized citizens like myself, and they'll tell me they're not registered to vote, and I'm like, why? It just, for me, I voted in every single election. And so I myself, in my own way, I'm a one-man committee. And I actually encourage people, everybody I know, wherever I meet them, to please register to vote. It's so easy. You could do it by mail. You can go in person. I mean, there shouldn't be any excuses to register to vote. So I appreciate what the League is doing with that, too. And one of the things, Deidre, that you're working on as well, is you're trying to... And to change people's minds, to show them how good solar energy and all the mind blowing things that that solar energy is, what it's good for. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd love to. But before I launch into clean energy, I'd love to just let those people who are wondering where to go to register. Can go to the League's website, which is BeReadyToVote.org. That's BeReadyToVote.org. And just click on the register to vote, because you can now do it by Internet, which is exciting. That's a new advance in Florida. So it's very easy, and over 12,000 people have registered just in the last couple of months.
Wow.
So, do that and request your mail-in ballot, because then it comes right to your home and you can vote by mail at home.
You know, if they would let us, if the immigration officers would let us stay in the airport, that would be a good place. When people get their permanent residency green cards, you plant that seed in their minds, because in 5 years, most of them become a citizen, and so many are not registered to vote. And so that's always one of my pet peeve about my own community and people that I know that mm-hmm. don't vote. So that's something that I try to push. But so we were talking about solar energy and the incredible potential that it has here
yes.
for the state of Florida
mm-hmm.
to help Floridians, homeowners save money, and not just that, save our environment. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and this is a really exciting thing, is that people should not go solar because it's green, and they shouldn't go solar because of climate change. They should go solar because they'll save a lot of money going solar. Florida is actually one of the top three states for solar potential, and we are now leading the nation in the growth of our residential marketplace. People are going solar all across Florida, and the League has been very involved in that, because we've been opening cooperatives, solar neighborhood co-ops, around the state that basically is a nonprofit. It bundles people's buying power so they can negotiate some pretty significant discounts on rooftop solar. But the savings are very large. And as the director of this Florida Solar Energy Center that's based right where you are in Cocoa Beach, he says it's the single best investment a homeowner in Florida can make. And he says that he's seeing average returns of 14% a year. And I would be surprised if too many of your listeners today, if they think about what they're getting on their money market funds or their investments, are getting anywhere near that. So your roof basically prints money once you've installed the solar and it gets turned on, which is very quickly. And you get really a lifetime with virtually no maintenance of some panels on your roof that basically enable you to save, in many cases, hundreds of dollars a month just by harnessing the sun.
And so it's certainly greener. And it's certainly greener than the conventional ways of harnessing energy.
Completely green, and we're also encouraging people to take a look now at the electric cars, because if you are commuting and you don't have to do long distance drives frequently, the electric cars, it's like paying pennies instead of paying $2.69 or higher per gallon. You're paying pennies per gallon because you're charging it up, and again, there's virtually no maintenance. So, oftentimes you'll pay $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 for the maintenance issues related to your car a year. You don't have to worry about that with an electric car. So they've become very cost-effective. They're very quiet. There's no emissions. And it is the future. It is the future. People are jumping on board. The car manufacturers are rolling out electric models right and left, and the prices have come down where it is, like solar, a very good investment, a sensible investment.
Right, and this is also, it also helps our health. I mean, how many times, you go to other countries sometime and the smog, it's so bad, the atmosphere, you see this dark cloud when you're driving. And so, but I often wonder, why is it not every single politician is on board with something like this order to pass legislation so that people could get the message and learn more about solar energy?
Well, for those that are interested in learning more about solar energy, we've launched 31 co-ops around the state in the last 2 years, and we're going to launch 20 more. We're just launching the panhandle today. Is solarunitedneighbors.org/Florida. solarunitedneighbors.org/Florida. And that's where you can find out if there's a co-op either currently active or coming in your area. This is a nonprofit. The people who sign up do not, and get a quote, don't have any obligation or fee to proceed. And they are the ones who decide which local installer is the one that gets selected. The other resource for those that are interested in learning more about electric cars is to take the nextcarpledge.org, which basically says your next car will hopefully be an electric car, and you will then get once a week some information about what's happening in the electric car industry. And every day there's new stuff coming out with the state planning on adding charging stations all up and down the turnpike. Lots of exciting things are going on. And as you point out, it's clean air. And just last week when we had like sun day after day, I know our part of Florida in Orlando had a ozone alert, which is very dangerous for people. Even without lung diseases, it's very bad for your lungs. So the car transportation now accounts for the largest source of harmful pollutants and emissions, even more than power plants. We're working on both. And now people can be good to the planet, but most importantly, make sensible smart investment decisions by putting solar on their roof or making a pledge to make their next car electric.
And those two things are so simple. I mean, because we know people are going to be doing those things. People are going to be buying cars and they're going to be fixing their roofs. So why not take the pledge? I also read someplace, Deidre, where scientists are now working on what is described as the holy grail of energy, or how to harness nuclear fusion. And they've been doing it for the last 70 years. So, I mean, this is something they've been working on, but I guess now is the time for people to jump on board here in the state of Florida and do something about clean energy and saving money, and not just that, saving our planet, leaving a good footprint for the next generation. So Phil is here, and I know Phil had something to add to solar energy as well.
Yes, well, yesterday was Earth Day, and I went to an event, and we were talking about solar, of course, and talking about the cost benefits. I think we see now that more municipalities are seeing how they can start saving money by going to solar, and so there's sustainability boards being developed across the district, across the county, and of course across the state to try to see how they can maximize money with them for their electricity bills, utility bills, and they're going with solar panels as well, so we're seeing that also occur. And then with the cars, we're seeing Tesla come about. They're bringing in the power blocks to the home so that they can...
And NASA. NASA is also thinking about solar-powered mm-hmm. aircrafts as well.
Our Pineapple Library yes. has charging stations.
I mean, mm-hmm. it is...
It gets me excited.
Yeah, so the innovation is coming around.
It's coming. So Deidre, so you had your choice to get involved in so many issues, but you chose solar, which is great for us. And you another thing we were talking about was women running for office. We have like maybe another 5 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you to just transition away from solar energy, and all we know all the good things it's going to be doing for us in the future. What can you tell us about all the women that have decided to run for office, and how exciting this is?
Well, it's really thrilling, and Phil, I don't know you personally, but it's important to get good candidates stepping forward, regardless of their sex. You know, people are looking forward. We're looking to things like clean energy, clean water, good schools, and you know, especially we're on the front lines here in Florida. We basically live on a sandbar. You guys, I happen to be inland in the center of the state, but you guys are on the sandbar on the coastline there, mm-hmm. It's triply important that elected officials are thinking future-wise, clean energy, how do we protect our water. We are very excited to see a quadruple amount this year of women across Florida running for office for the state legislature, for county and city commission, school boards. Just all kinds of races. And it's very exciting, of course, to see that. It wasn't too long ago, somebody told me the statistics, that there were more men called William in the legislature than there were total women wow. in the state legislature. Well, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And basically, we need to have representative democracy. We yes. need people in elected office who represent all of us. And so it's important to have diverse, enthusiastic, honest, common sense people who are looking to forge a middle ground. And it is thrilling to see also not just the number of women candidates, the number of young people who are stepping forward to run for office. So I think we're at a great turning point. I think Florida has a whole new crop of young, motivated,
energetic,
intelligent. Yes.
I like to
yes.
think that they're more balanced yep. because, we want people who are more balanced and energetic and transparent at the same time, and people yeah. who can speak to those who oppose your ideas but agree to disagree, mm-hmm. but walk away knowing that you accomplished something. And if lately we're seeing that the word compromise in politics is not even being taken seriously at all, you've got one side with saying something and the other side saying something, and it like nobody wants to meet in the middle and do what's right for everyone. Like we started the conversation that you know, we should be doing what's good for all Floridians, not just the ones that vote for yeah. someone, you know?
Well, let me give you an example that I think is very pertinent to your part of the state and really all the state and frankly all the country. And that's the recent incident with the horrible catastrophe at Parkland. And what we saw up in the legislature, which is pretty much 100% one party right now, was a refusal to even allow a ban of assault weapons to be discussed and voted on. So when you have balance in your state legislature and when you have balance in Congress and you have both parties represented in a meaningful, balanced way, you then begin to get where people will listen to ideas and you get more progress. But it's our hope that by getting more young people, more women, and more forward-thinking candidates, that we will have a legislature that is ready, willing, and eager to take on best practice ideas that are driven by data that show, you know, if we want to make progress, for instance, in making our schools safer, let's take a look at the data. Let's, you know, let's be willing to discuss things that maybe the NRA doesn't want us to discuss.
I think people just have to be honest. I think if you sit down with the students and their parents, and you ask any 5-year-old, do you want someone in your school who is not a police officer or a school resource officer? Do you want that person with a gun, or do you want the police? And a child out of the mouth of babes will tell you, I don't want my teacher to have a gun. I want my teacher to have a pen and pencil. I want my custodian to take care of my school, but I want a police officer or a school resource officer to be there if I need them with a gun. It shouldn't be that's a discussion that one side of the aisle is having all the time. And we all know that with Florida, we have a population growth here that's, it's going to be more people, more voices, more people to vote. I mean, I often wonder, with the population growth in Florida, we have more elderly, we have more people from elsewhere coming to our state. And how can we reach all those people to make sure that all these issues that we talk about in this beautiful Garden of Eden, sustainability, gun control, public education, how can we reach people to make sure that everybody is getting their voice heard?
Well, I think, you know, radio shows like yours, Sita, and I'm always interested, like, I didn't get a chance to hear Phil's reason for running for office, but I always like to hear why people are running. You know, was there a defining moment or issue or legacy that they hope to accomplish? And, I think we have a brighter future going forward. When I see young people stepping forward to speak out loudly, when I see this exciting new group of candidates coming forward with new ideas, that gives me a tremendous hope.
Well, we do know the Women's March actually produced a lot of women. I mean, I was there in Washington, D.C. with those women, and I tell you, the energy in Washington, D.C., and the reasons why people had flown to Washington, D.C., or came in buses and cars, and God knows from where they came from, and stayed with friends, and the hotels were packed. It was not just about women's issue. It was about the environment and gun control. Yeah. And it was about every single social issue, as well as people were fighting for jobs with benefits as in healthcare. People want to see that if you have coverage for healthcare, your neighbor has it as well. And, you know, people were there for so many reasons, but it was like a coming together of all these minds, beautiful minds, and from that produced so many women who decided, well, you know what? I can multitask. I can raise a family. I can work. I can run for office, and I can give back to this great country.
Well, I think 2018 is going to be a very exciting year for America, and I think the reason for that is because of the energetic new crop, if you will, of wonderful candidates and the real interest and determination on the part of voters, people who are listening to your show, who have said, you know, I got to make sure my registration is up to date. I have to request my vote by mail ballot. And I need to make sure, by the way, that I vote in the August primary as well as the November election, because many races are decided in August. So that's why it's nice to get that vote by mail, because every election it comes right to your house. So you can do that through your supervisor of election, and you can find your supervisor on BeReadyToVote.org.
The time is always so short.
It's going to be an exciting year.
It will be an exciting year, and the time is so short. We wish we could have a whole nother hour to talk to you,
but we will have you back on
the show for sure.
I will text you.
We have posted all of the websites and all the great resources that Deidre had provided, so make sure that you hit our Facebook page, and we will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these quick messages. Thank you so much, Deidre, for calling in.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We had a very robust first segment today on our show with Deidre McNabb. I just love her name, and I always say McNabb. And she's the former 3-term president of the Florida League of Women Voters, and she's now chairing the campaign on clean energy to make Florida number one in solar and the nextcarpledge.org. She was also recognized as the Orlando Sentinel's 2012 Most Influential Central Floridian of the Year. So anyway, so that was great. We talked a little bit about solar energy. And now we're going to talk to our second guest, who is Phil Moore. And Phil is a candidate for Florida House District 53. And he's also paying for this segment. And this is where Ellen is going to do what's right for the FCC rules.
Right. So the campaign, this segment is being paid for by the campaign to elect Phil Moore to state representative, the seat 53. They call it seat 53?
District 53. And Phil's going to tell us a lot of things. We're going to talk about how he got his campaign off the ground. We're going to talk about why he decided to run. And but before we do that, let's meet Phil. Phil is a second-generation Florida native. He moved to Brevard County in 1997 and was immediately drawn to the small towns, so many of them here in Brevard. The lifestyle, the beaches, the waterways. He's also an athletic trainer. He trained, he worked for a few years at Florida Tech, and then he moved to personal training and private coaching as an employee of Health First, Pro Health Fitness Center. After enjoying 15 years as a personal trainer and multiple career moves, Phil has decided to run for office. If I keep reading, we won't have any time left for Phil to talk about his campaign, so I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. And I'm going to have Phil say a few things about himself.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. First, let me say that Deidre had the segue right into it. I did not pay her for that.
Yeah.
We were talking briefly about having new people run for office and how excited it is to have so many new faces. And that would be, I would be one of them. I've never run for office before, but it's great to have diversity and to see so many women. It's very exciting to have so many people run. We need that type of diversity.
I don't know why Anna Ishkamani always comes into my head when we talk about women running for office.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting. It's energizing to see so many new people running, including myself. I'm new to politics and excited to be running. Where was I going with that?
Well, you're just saying a little bit about yourself, the aha moment. I mean, there had to be a moment when, you know, you said to yourself, well, I know I'm going to have a campaign.
Yes.
And finance and rules and a website and materials, but you said, I'm going to do it anyways.
Right. The reason I ended up running was, just like she said, we needed to have more of a balance in our state politics and our national politics. And we don't want to just have one side and one party not get the interaction from a different point of view. And so when you have that, one party rule, you're not going to get that coming across the aisle and communicating with what the true needs are from that representation. So that's the main reason why I decided to run. And those reasons happen to be in my district, the economy, the environment.
Yes.
And
it should be every politician's concerns, not just a Democrat or a Republican.
Right.
And everyone should wake up every day and say to themselves, this is the United States of America. And when you govern for all.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
If you want to talk about public education, look around and see, in order to help people in public schools, you have to fix our communities.
Yes.
It is totally unfair for some communities to have the best and some don't. And so look around and speak to the parents and find out their parents who are working two jobs.
Right.
Maybe they're tired. They can't volunteer at their child's school. Well, think about it. If they're making $9, $10
sure.
an hour and you can't put food on the table and you can't pay rent,
and that's one
how
of the,
are you going to volunteer at your child's school?
And that's one of the things I talk about in part of my economy platform is a living wage. And it's something that really hits home in my district, which carries a lot of Palm Bay, which is the working class. And they're struggling to make ends meet just to pay rent if they aren't able to even own the homes. Rent is so high right now, too.
And those are the folks, too, that don't get insurance because they're in that berm. They're the working poor.
Right.
You know, they can't necessarily afford health insurance either. So
yes. Yes.
Brings up a whole nother
yeah.
whole nother
well,
scenario.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we all say that healthcare is a human right. It's not a privilege. But it's not really a slogan, and it's not just a phrase. We should actually be working towards that. And that's why it's nice to have Phil Moore running for office in District Florida House District 53, because he cares about the people and he wants to make sure that the people who fall into the gap, that Medicaid gap,
right.
that
mm-hmm.
we can help them as well. So tell us a little bit about some of the issues that you're running, and what are your three top issues?
So yes, my three top issues are infrastructure, environment, and the economy. And so I have a stake in all three of those, which is why I ran on them. Being a Brevard resident for 20 years, I have done a lot of work with the environment. I used to run triathlons. It would have said that in my bio somewhere. And in running those triathlons, I would swim in the river and kayak in the river, paddleboard in the river. And I saw the decline of our lagoon over time. And so that helped me get an understanding of what it is that we need to do to fix our lagoon, as I've seen it decline. And I had a vested interest in it, having run those triathlons. In infrastructure, I used to be a big cyclist, and I used to help nonprofit organizations.
So you can see all the houses as you're cycling.
I've cycled tens of thousands of
and
miles.
And all the potholes.
Yes. And that's really
what... I ride a bike, you know. I would fall down. My mother never believed in the girls learning to ride bikes. So we never learned to ride bikes.
Oh, that's a shame.
Isn't that it? Is a shame.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But yeah,
it's a great way to know your community is through bicycling.
I can just see you riding around looking at the houses. And
you can learn the roads. You learn the potholes.
Yeah.
You learn everything. When I got really became an advocate from that, I actually used to go and sit in on the Space Coast Training and Planning Organization committee meetings, which another one's called the BPTAC. It's the Bicycling, Pedestrian, and Trails Action Committee. I used to sit in on those meetings for about 10 years as I was cycling and trying to see what we could do and to improve our roads and to improve part of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. I learned how many years in advance this planning goes out, money from the state, matching money or money from the local municipalities. So infrastructure is something that I'm very keen on and I know a lot about to be able to help out in my district and in the municipalities.
Right.
With that.
And
third thing was was the economy. So I lived in Palm Bay as well. Mm-hmm. I used to be a Palm Bay resident and I actually had my home foreclosed on during the housing drop. And so I knew the struggle that people have, even trying to recover from that type of financial, and people still meet the financial burden of only living paycheck to paycheck, one disaster still away from being in financial ruin. And so I'm completely aware of that. I lived it. And I know what the help that they need to be able to break that barrier to get up. And we have so much need in that district, whether it be low income housing that hasn't been funded in so long from the state, whether it be healthcare, mm-hmm. being able to get people the healthcare they need so that they're not dropping down right into financial ruin just by going to the doctor. And so, yeah, I want to be able to help out with the economy.
Yeah, I like when I heard Mayor Andrew Gilliam speak once, and that phrase just stuck to my mind. He says, jobs with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's so many people that judge other people based on their economic situation or their zip code, right? And we all talk about able-bodied men and women being able to work.
Sure.
Well, you know, that's the truth. Everyone should be contributing to the economy unless you're sick or disabled.
Right.
Or something, you're elderly or something like that, right? And you can't work anymore. You're retired.
And those are the people we have to protect too,
right,
though.
That's the
we
thing.
Have to make sure that we're not trying to take away something like Meals for Wheels
or for
elderly that can't get out.
Right. Or Social Security.
Right.
You know? But the thing is, for the people that judge those that does not work, there's also other things going on behind the scenes. I was speaking to someone who was telling me that just car insurance, by the time you pay rent and car insurance and put food on the table, a lot of people don't have gas to even put in the car that they're supposed to drive to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So it all falls back on watching, talking to people about their wages and raising the minimum wage.
Yeah. Right.
And
getting them a living wage.
And making sure that people have a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you do the math, even if someone makes, you know, $13, $14, $15 an hour, even that doesn't cut it.
Well, the reason I use the term living wage is because it's going to vary across the state. If you live in Miami, the living wage is going to be different than here in Brevard. But yeah, you're right. We have to, and one of the things that you look at when you're talking about just a simple thing as insurance is they actually charge you more if you're working harder and not being able to make that much money. You're more of a risk.
Yes.
And so they make it even harder for you to carry insurance.
Right. I think one of the, and I like what you're doing and other people who are running for office as well, is sitting down and speaking with people. When you talk to people, they tell you the issues and
yes.
they tell you what's happening in their families and their communities. And then you're supposed to compile that data and go back home and figure, well, if I run for office and I win, this is what I'm going to do.
So,
but really and truly, we talk about public education, but every child from K through 12 deserves an education.
Absolutely.
So what is your plan for public education?
So one of the things that we do in Tallahassee, when I say we, that Tallahassee does, is they love to divert funds to balance their budget. And one of the things they've been doing is taking money away from public education and moving it towards a voucher program. And I don't believe that's the right thing to do, is to move money away from public education. And then that makes
But then it becomes a business. And
yes.
public education should not,
should
be,
not
a business
be a business right.
for businessmen. It should be a business mm-hmm. of educating our children
right.
to give them a better future so they can either go to college, they can go to trade school, mm-hmm. they can open a business, give them the tools to go out and be somebody. But when you take away from public education and you put it into charter schools or private schools, I don't think you're doing the community
right.
any good. So
exactly.
go ahead.
Exactly. Well, so we want to make sure that we're keeping the public dollars that are being diverted back into public education system. And that it's not just in public education. We divert money all around to try to pay for projects. Even in low-income housing, it's another thing that we've diverted money from. If you look at Florida Forever, it's an environmental project that we've been trying to pay for reserve lands to so that we have that for the future. We've been pulling the money away from that project. So they divert funds all the time. If I get a chance to get back into Tallahassee, I want to try to make sure that money that the taxpayers...
Well, you have to say, I will. When I get to it. Right,
yes.
Don't
absolutely.
We talk about the power of positive.
That's
yes.
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I am there.
When you're there.
When I'm there.
Your seat.
Well, because
I will
it's
work
not
on
about
it.
Millionaires and billionaires getting in. It's about the guy on the street that's talked to the people on Main Street mm-hmm. and finds out, how are you managing with three children in three schools, and you have to pick one up at elementary, middle, and high school, and you have one car in your home because only one person is working. Well, you know, you have to talk to people to find out how they're budgeting and how they're managing with life.
So when you talked about me going out and talking to people in the area, I just had, you know, luckily the fact that I am a resident of Brevard for 20 years. I've lived the same things that these people have lived here. So I know when it is these problems that they're seeing, and that's what they're feeding back to me. They're reiterating the same things that I find the issues to be, whether it be the lagoon, whether it be infrastructure, whether it be even the sewage systems part of the infrastructure that needs to be repaired. I see those and I recognize those also as the same needs.
Yeah, or healthcare. The big one for me has always been healthcare.
Because mm-hmm. you worked in the healthcare industry.
Yeah, because I work in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. But the other one too, of late, everyone is talking about is gun control.
Yes.
So tell us your thoughts about what can we do to address comprehensive gun control?
Absolutely. Yes. So this has become the issue now, unfortunately, because of Parkland. That we're having to address. And I think that they actually came across with a bad bill. The last, you know, a last speaker just talked about how we were trying to compromise. And I don't think it was a good compromise in terms of a bill. It was very confusing, the Gun Control Act. In fact, I don't think any county or municipality knows how to really enact it. And it's supposed to be mandated. There wasn't enough funding. Funding went into the wrong portions in my view. We're not funding enough for our mental health. In the state of Florida, we're 49th in the nation.
Or for collection of data. I
yes.
don't understand why so many people are up in arms about just a collection of good, solid data of who's getting shot, where, who's using it, mm-hmm. and do the, you know, just like show
There's
us.
There's got to be some common
threads, ground, right?
Mm-hmm. Some common thread,
yeah.
some medicine, something that they took in their backgrounds, anything. I mean, there's got to be something that's common.
How about just understanding that, you know, we have to be the people that are supposed to vote for people who make laws that are common sense.
Yes.
Right.
Just use
Absolutely.
Common sense. Yeah.
We're going to go back and visit. I will go back and visit this issue when I'm in office in November. It's going to be something we're going to have to readdress to make sure that we're coming across with common sense.
And we also have a new group in Brevard as well, Moms Demand Action for
yes.
Gun Sense in America. The word itself, gun sense, mm-hmm. tells you, you know, just common sense. Like I say, I think a five-year-old could solve this problem very easy. We've been seeing what's going on with the school board and what's going on with the SROs and all that. And if you sit 10 children together, you can get the answer to all these things. Even the lagoon, I swear, you ask my grandchild, who is 8 years old, and my other grandchild, who's 9, Madison Ruby, they'll tell you how to fix the lagoon.
And, you know, exactly. And to that point, when you look at what the citizens, the teachers want, what the staff and the administration want, what the parents want, what the children want, none of them want to put guns in the schools. The overwhelming majority of them say, no, they don't want that. That's not the answer.
Yeah, I'd rather see metal detectors.
Yeah, they say hardening the schools are fine. SROs are great to
yes.
have this
metal
officials.
Detectors, like in the airport. I mean, so mothers and fathers would have to be responsible, put their mm-hmm. children to bed early and wake up a little bit earlier, because there's going to be a line to get through the metal detectors
sure.
before you get to your classrooms. But I feel safe in an aircraft knowing that everyone went through the metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think children and teachers and educators would feel good going through the detectors as well. But that's another conversation for another day, right?
Yeah, well,
so now
gun control is a big one.
Yeah, on your website, you talk a little bit more about fracking for the environmental concerns.
Yes.
What do you want to share with our listeners here on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends about how to protect our beaches and our waterways, our unique ecosystem here in Florida?
You know, we were just talking in the last segment about Earth Day and how we're looking more at solar. And I think that is the move that we need to go towards, looking to renewable energy resources, not fracking and looking to fossil fuels, especially in the state of Florida where we have a very volatile aquifer and we don't want to disturb it. We were actually looking at that in the last legislative session too, to inject water into our aquifer to try to balance out the population growth. We're actually pulling more water from the aquifer than we're replenishing. I will be against fracking as a viable source of energy. We need to look more towards renewables.
So we have a few minutes left, Phil, and we just want to tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. I swear, every time I say 100.7, I think of a temperature. Because being a nurse, I'm like, where am I? 100.7 sounds like I have to run and get two Tylenol for someone. Because that's what I do all the time. But anyway, I was going to say, what is your plan to renew the American dream? Of course, you can't renew the American dream yourself, right? The American dream.
Where's that magic wand?
The American dream is you wake up every day, you have a happy household, everyone has, but your father and mother have a job, you have benefits, children go to school, come home, do their homework, and you live a peaceful life and coexist with other people on your block.
That's a
tough
question.
How can we get that again, right?
Yeah, that's a tough
question. How can we get people to move back? I mean, you hear when immigrants come to the United States, they say, well, we want the American dream. What do you feel is the American dream?
I think we've gotten to a point where we've become so polarized in our politics that we need to figure out how to come back to a middle ground again.
Yeah, because Americans want the American dream too.
Mm-hmm.
Immigrants are not the only ones that want the opportunity and want the American dream. You have people living right here that want someone to say to them, I will guide you and give you the opportunity that you need to succeed to get this American dream as well.
Sure, and I think we got to get away from the partisan politics that give us talking points that if it's a working poor, it's you, not me. It could be the whole group of everybody. If it's somebody who's looking for renewable energy sources, it's not just you, it's me also.
Yeah. So we're in this together.
Yes.
We're team.
When we look at safety, we want safety for our children. We all want the same thing. We want to live in a safer environment. It's just reducing the partisan politics to get there.
Right. Well, when we talk about the equality for everyone, I mean, some people say, well, everybody have rights. That is true. We're all protected. But you have to take it one step further and make sure there is equality and there is justice for everyone, mm-hmm. and that people don't feel like they've been singled out because of their race or their gender,
right.
or, you know, whatever sexual preference they have, right. or whatever. So I think those are things that all politicians, like you say, it shouldn't be for one, you know, it should be for all.
Right. It's not just one group.
Right. So Phil, let's say somebody meets you in the elevator and they say, Phil Moore, you're running for office. Give us your 30-second speech.
Okay.
Give us your 30-second speech and sit up straight and square your shoulders and say, tell us. Because
it's
not often
chairs.
That people they come are. Forward to run for office. And so thank you.
Yes. So I'm definitely running for the environment, infrastructure, and the economy to help fix those portions of South Brevard and my District 53.
Right. And you do have a great website, so feel free to give out your website to our listeners.
Sure.
On Viewpoint with CETA and Friends.
It's one more time. It's votefillmore.com.
Right. Are you finding it very difficult to fundraise? Because, I mean, they tell us, right? They tell you. I know when I ran for office, they tell you, you have to call every single human being that you've met since you were 2 years old and ask them to give you the almighty dollar.
That is correct. Well, I will say two things. One, unfortunately, it does cost money, and you want to try to take away money in politics. You want to try to separate those two, but it does cost money to run a political campaign. So money will never be completely separated from politics.
That's right. That's people just say that, but honestly, you really can't separate it. But you need people who use their money for the good of society.
Yes.
You don't use your money because you want to divide and you want to create confusion and you want to create hatred among races and different religions. And that's what we see is them against us, or we see people running for office who are really projecting fear onto other people. Don't be afraid of people. Get to know people.
Mm-hmm. And I would say money is used as an influencing factor. And that's the portion that we want to take out. We want to just have the money that we need to run the campaign.
Why do you think certain people use their money to influence others in politics?
Well, it's to get their viewpoint pushed across. It might not be the candidate or the whoever's in politics. That might not be their viewpoint, but it might help them push that agenda.
And so many times it's a viewpoint that it can be biased towards either race or religion or wages or money or who's making
or
money off of something.
Oh,
yeah, it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. And I really feel people are afraid. They're afraid of the old. They're afraid of the new and losing what was old. But
yeah.
They should not be afraid because times are changing. Just like now, you know, my grandchild wanted to know where babies come from. And so she asked Google. Times have changed.
Right.
And so human beings need to change with time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think it's going, if they do that, I think they're going to realize that it's still going to be the people that are voting these people in with the same issues versus the money. But yes, it still takes money to run a campaign, a good campaign. So yes, I'm still trying to work on raising funds.
So how do you, what is your plan to get voters to the polls? Because you and I both know of so many people that are registered to vote, but they make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you met someone and they said, you know, oh, shucks, I registered and I forgot, what is your push to tell them to get to the polls?
You know, the one thing that I found is that you have to make it relate to them. You have to show them how voting will help them with whatever issue they're dealing with at home or around their house, family, environment, whatever. So when you bring it to them and show them how it influences them, then they'll go vote. If it doesn't impact them directly, people just shrug it off and say, I don't need to vote. I don't need to do anything.
Yeah,
for that.
They let somebody else do it. Well, mm-hmm. I say if you don't vote, you shouldn't complain.
Right.
Because when you vote,
I don't
you,
listen to people complaining.
Yeah, well, you control your economic future and the economic future of those around you when you vote.
Well, that's, and the cool part is
that should say.
Deidre gave us the Be Ready to Vote, BereadyToVote.com, mm-hmm. toVote.com, and sign up for that absentee ballot. You can do it right online. There's no reason to. There, one more escape from a excuse
right.
to be able to register to vote and to act on it right away.
And you know, I think a good thing to tell people too is when you vote, you're investing in early childhood education. You're investing in everyone going to college or a vocational school.
And that goes back to making sure that they understand what it is, how it impacts them, and then they'll vote.
Right. Any events that you have planned coming up?
I've got some fundraisers coming up. Yes, they'll be on my website. They'll be on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yes.
And we will make sure. Yeah, we'll make sure that we tag, because I do have your Facebook page, and I have put it on our podcast as well as our Facebook page as well.
Great.
So hopefully we'll get a lot of activity and a lot of questions and citizens looking you up and making sure that
Terrific.
They know all about
yes,
film.
Yes, and I have a Twitter account as well.
Yes. I think we should demand more of people running for office in that we should demand that they should be honest. They should be transparent. They should know the issues they're talking about. And we should say to them, when was the last time you met with people in your neighborhood or your district to find out how they're affected? And I think when you guys are doing that, you and other people, that's great. So for
that's
our listeners
awesome.
Who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I think we have how many seconds left? Airtime is so expensive.
Five seconds. We'll be right back with Viewpoint.
Let's just give his website with that 5 seconds. Quickly, give it.
VoteFillmore.com.
And folks, we'll see you next week on Viewpoint. We'll see you then, friends. Same
more.
Bat channel, same bat time. 1 o'clock on WWBC AM 1510.